Now, before you gather for that holiday meal, our economics correspondent Paul Solman asks, what's the beef people have about beef? There have long been debates over the environmental effects of the meat industry and moral arguments made against killing animals. The rise in popularity of new meatless options adds a different dimension to the discussion. Paul examines the questions tonight. It's part of his weekly reporting for Making Sense.
To avoid catastrophic climate change.
Yep, ex-governor, ex-terminator Arnold Schwarzenegger, in a video created to indict beef.
Less meat, less heat, more life.
So trending, beef is bad, as this new documentary luridly asserts.
When you consider the devastation it's having on our planet as well as the oceans.
No wonder the plant-based meat startups profiled recently here on Making Sense want to chop meat from our diets and the planet entirely and replace it with products like the Beyond Burger or with Beyond's main rival, the Impossible Burger.
They ate it, they tasted it, and we asked
Biochemist Pat Brown, CEO of Impossible Foods, wants to replace grazing animals entirely.
By when?
By 2035. The use of animals to produce food is the most destructive technology in use on Earth today.
And here's the CEO of rival Beyond Meat.
You look at heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. Those things, there's a correlation between those and the levels of meat and the type of meat that we're eating.
Besides the argument against killing animals for food, the Beef Against Beef features a trio of charges. Bad for the land, bad for the air, bad for the body. Negative externalities, they're called in economics, costs that the price of the product doesn't include. So let's hear the case one externality at a time, starting with Lay's Waste the Land. Impossible's Pat Brown.
We could produce all the protein required by the world's population in 2050 with 2% of Earth's land if we did it the way we're producing our meat, as opposed to more than 45% of Earth's land that's currently being used raising animals for food.
Right, says his rival CEO, Ethan Brown.
We can get this right. And once we do it, we can liberate those fields. They don't have to be serving that really inefficient master. We can start planting things directly there that are protein for human consumption.
The mighty master steer, that is. So inefficient that
if you take the 30 calories of corn grown in Iowa and turn it into a hamburger, you're lucky to get 1 calorie of new beef that we actually eat.
Jonathan Foley of the California Academy of Science.
Well, cows and goats and sheep and things are in the brown areas.
Foley has actually mapped the land use problem.
This is showing the footprint of agriculture on the planet. What really surprises people sometimes is that 38% of all the land on Earth is covered in food. For example, all of this land, 75% of it, all those red areas and a lot of the green areas, are used to produce meat, either directly by grazing or by growing crops so we then later feed to animals in a feedlot.
In addition, says Jonathan Foley, growing beef consumption in the less developed world leads to deforestation, clearing the land for cattle. So what says the defense?
Come, cattle!
Look at this guy. Would they respond to me too or no?
Anybody that would come out here in an outfit like that, I doubt that they would respond positively to you.
In Marin County, California, grass-fed guru Bill Nyman and wife Nicolette, defender of beef.
What's so miraculous about these animals is they're basically just taking the energy of the sunlight that's going into the vegetation, and they are converting it with very little input from humans.
Humans who can't eat grass.
These animals can convert cellulosic material to nutritious and delicious food for human consumption. And I don't think you can do that in a lab.
Ag professor Frank Mitlaner echoes the Nymans.
So here in California, half of all land in the state is marginal land, is rangeland used for cattle. And without them, you could not use that land for human food production. 2/3 of all agricultural land in the world could not be used for food production for people.
So removing grazing animals entirely would leave unfarmable acreage 4 times the size of California. But what about wasted water? It takes nearly 2,000 gallons to produce 1 pound of beef. Compare that to broccoli and cauliflower. The lowly legumes require just 34 gallons a pound.
Water goes
into the basin. But, says Nicolette Nyman,
and so the whole ecosystem holds a lot more water in it when you have grazing animals, when they're well managed. You also have just a lot more biological activity in the soil. And that turns out to be the cornerstone of sustainability for the whole food system.
Biological activity enhanced, she says, by a very positive externality of cattle.
That cow is pooping as we speak.
Yay, poop is good.
Moreover, animals provide half our farm fertilizer. If poop goes, do bad for the planet nitrates replace it? Okay, but what about externality too? Greenhouse gases.
What percentage of greenhouse gases are accounted for, in your estimation, by livestock?
There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 18%, yeah.
That's globally.
Bovine bubble. So explain to me what this is.
So these are the so-called bovine bubbles that we use to measure the impact of livestock on the air.
His measures, says Professor Mittlehner, show that emissions in America are much smaller than the global average.
Why? Because the efficiencies of livestock production in the United States have reduced our carbon footprint to historical levels. These heifers here will be finished, meaning going to slaughter when they're 14 months of age. So they're still very young. If they were on pasture their whole life, they would go to slaughter twice that age.
If the rest of the world followed suit, Mittlehner says, the greenhouse effect would drop dramatically. But can it? Moreover, Jonathan Foley adds, American efficiency generates plenty of negative externalities itself.
There's 100 million acres of corn that are basically being turned into cows. There's another 80 million acres of soybeans here.
All right, that's land and air. What about bad for the body?
We do see that higher amounts of red meat in the diet are associated with many adverse health outcomes.
Harvard nutrition expert Walter Willett.
Cardiovascular disease, more cancer, more diabetes, higher total mortality.
Adds food advocate Anna Lappe.
And right now in the United States, we consume basically twice as much, on average, protein as our bodies need.
Impossible Foods technology raises another concern. The FDA asked the company to retest a key ingredient, soy leg hemoglobin, to make sure it isn't an allergen. But hey, it's about time for the final verdict. Who better to reach it, I thought, than Omnivore's Dilemma author Michael Pollan, who famously chronicled the foreshortened life of number 534, a steer he bought and tracked from birth to feedlot to slaughter.
I think meat is delicious food that humans have been eating for a very, very long time, and I think there is a place for animals in sustainable agriculture. However, that's not the kind of meat we're eating now. We're eating the products of a wasteful and polluting feedlot system. And that allows us to eat an unnaturally large amount of meat.
Should plant-based meat replace meat on the hoof completely?
The realistic goal is not to destroy the meat industry. People are going to continue to eat meat. It's to shrink it. It's to bring it back to a scale where we can raise cattle without destroying the environment.
And it turns out even the Nymans aren't telling us to gorge on their never-seen-a-feedlot friends. And finally, what about plant-based meat?
When you're taking something in the diet that's as simple and nourishing as eggs, meat, and milk, and you're telling people, you should replace it with this thing I created in a laboratory, I don't think it's going to work.
I guess we'll see. For the PBS NewsHour, this is economics correspondent Paul Solman.
Come, cattle! Just come!
Trying to call the cows while reporting from California.